So, welcome to Future Messaging. Thanks so much for coming. I'm Becca Sussman. I'm the Membership and Outreach Manager with Psych Pittsburgh. And I see that it's pretty much a blank slate as some of you put questions down. So hopefully, as we go on, we'll get a good discussion going. So I am honored to be presenting with Monica Garrison, who's the founder of Black Girls Do Bike, and Echo Rivera of Echo in the City. They're both amazing women, and we'll have a lot to share with you. Are we using arrows? Okay. We're having some issues. We have tape holding together the computer right now, so bear with us if it comes apart. So basically, so as you can see, the way we shape the discussion and communicate ideas is really crucial to an equitable movement. So to start with, basically, what is future messaging? Future messaging can be looked at as twofold. It both encompasses the ideas and the overarching messages that we want to convey and connect with, and also how we disseminate, how we distribute these ideas to a wider audience than just our core people who are on our email lists and come to our events and the people that we know and see all the time. And so the way we do that is for us through storytelling. The three of us all have different means for communicating information, but an overarching theme is storytelling and having personal stories that people connect with and can relate to. It's really, in our view, overall, the best way to make change. And so I'm going to start just with a brief overview of the kind of work that I do, and then we'll each give you an overview so you have some idea of where we're coming from. So with the work that I do advocacy work and work for an advocacy organization, but even with that, I find that really just talking on a human level is what helps to create change. Not having a dogmatic view and saying you must follow these rules or these laws, but really trying to help people to understand what's going on and how to relate. And so a couple of years ago, there were several hit and runs in Pittsburgh, and we were trying to figure out what kind of messaging to get out in order to start to create change. And we decided to start what we called the Drive of Care campaign. And we reached out to real Pittsburghers who ride bikes and asked them to be a part of it. And you may have seen there's the second sort of iteration of the campaign up now. There are some bus shelter boards and billboards along the sides of the buses. Some of them are downtown, but they're scattered all throughout Pittsburgh. And it's really just the way we went about it is to show that, this could be your son or your daughter's best friend or your cousin or your neighbor or your parent. And so really just to drive with care, to think about what you're doing, because if you think about it, even if you don't ride a bike yourself, you want other people to get home safely and to be safe. So this was the tack that we took. And we got a lot of positive response. It seemed to be working. So there's an example. We got Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, too, which we're pretty excited about, because people also connect with their sports heroes, who they see on the television all the time. And this is one of the newest ones on the side of the bus. And so we got some funding to do the first iteration of it, and then we needed to get more in order to keep it going, because we really felt like the first run was too short and we wanted to keep the conversation out there. So we ended up crowdsourcing and doing basically gaining community support and community buy-in. And in order to do that, we could reach both our general community, but we also had to expand beyond that. And in order to expand beyond, we had people share both through social media and other means with their friends and their neighbors who don't bike, and that just expanded exponentially and was just a great means for opening the conversation. And the fact that it was in the news in the area also brought it to the attention of just people who read newspapers, who are not necessarily bicycle advocates or people who ride every day. So we did large scale, outreach, and then also we have I started a Women in Biking program which is a way to do small-scale messaging and try to figure out how to get the stories of our community and the women in Pittsburgh out there. So I partnered with Jude Vachon of the Carnegie Library. She curates their zine collection. You might not know if you're not from Pittsburgh, but we have one of the largest zine collections in the country, and it's in Oakland at the main branch, and it's free. So if you're in town for a little while, you can ride up there and check it out. But we basically wanted to find a forum to bring women together who wouldn't necessarily know each other and also who don't get to talk about riding and the part that it plays in their lives. And so we started this night where women come together, and we had a wide range of ages and backgrounds who didn't know each other, but all they heard was women and biking and came, even though they didn't know what a zine was. And I brought some, they're really just pamphlets or stories of any sort. And we read, and then we had people jot down their experiences. And it could be really in any form, and we made a new zine to do that. And in terms of messaging, we both then had this on our site and at the National Women's Summit, but also at the library, so someone who's just browsing, who may not know anything about it, could encounter it for free. So trying to figure out ways to outreach to people who aren't in our community and to also cross barriers in terms of people who don't want to spend money necessarily to find out what's going on. But it could be anything. I just brought a couple of examples. Yeah, so it can be everything from like a haiku. So bike, you are lovely. I'm a beast on two wheels. I will ride you, bike, to the perks of having a fro that Gany did, who's lovely in here, on a bike. But really just trying to figure out ways. Everyone has a story. And you need to figure, we're trying to figure out ways to get our stories out there, because that's the most important thing for us. To do in terms of changing the story that and the way that people look at biking and look at our community and the way that we can sort of slowly start to shift the paradigm. So let's see here. So then we had the Women's Forum, which we didn't see really as being a form of messaging, but a form of creating future messaging, creating what the messages are that we then will want to get out. So women, it was the first Pittsburgh Women's Bicycling Forum, and people came together really, you know, to begin this discussion. And we had workshops both on how to, read the bike map and fix a flat and do things yourself so that as women are then, as the participants are out in the world, if they encounter someone who had a flat, they could help them out. And then through word of mouth, they explain what's going on and they pass that knowledge on. And person-to-person messaging is really really a very effective form. You're actually connecting and changing people's ideas. And we had a discussion. We had a discussion with women on the barriers, on their experiences biking, both the barriers and the good and the bad and the silly. And a theme that came up was that the participants felt there were barriers that were limiting their choice to bike and themes that need to be addressed in the future messaging. And so what came of this event is a challenge, really, to figure out how to turn the negative or the barriers into something to foster positive change. And that's going to be our challenge in the future, to figure out how to do this, whether through the images of billboards or through written medium, but how to move the movement forward. So really, cultural shift is slow, and it will happen, but it will happen a lot more easily if we find ways to connect with people around it. And Monica is going to talk about Black Girls Do Bike.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Honored to be here and to be with these ladies who I admire a great deal. So my name, as Becca said, is Monica Garrison. I'm the founder of BlackGirlsDoBike.com. I'll tell you a little bit about the site if you've never heard of us. Basically, it started with a singular question about 2 years ago, which was, do black women and girls actually bike? I was sure the answer was yes, but I had no idea really how broad the answer would be, how wide and diverse the community was. So I created the website, as you see here, and later that led to a Facebook page. But my thought was, wouldn't it be great to create an area where ladies could connect with each other, no matter, you know, what city they were in or part of the world, and exchange knowledge, post images of their rides, just basically a place where we can inspire female cyclists. And right now we're just over 3,000 followers, and I can tell you with complete confidence that black girls do bike. And not only do they bike, but they do it well, and they do it really for the same reasons as everyone else, to get fit, for the challenge, to triumph over illness, for transportation, to relieve stress, and for the pure unadulterated fun of riding a bike. And these ladies not only ride, but they're eager to share their achievements and stories, and that's what we seek to do. We basically want to be a resource and also a motivator for these ladies, and that's what we're trying to accomplish. So each one of these slides I could tell you a story of these ladies overcoming something, but I think the picture is probably worth 1,000 words. But they're all ladies who share on our site on a regular basis and have submitted these pictures so that we could share them with everyone else. So at this point, we have actually met Miss Kitty about a month ago. She's amazing. She had just had hip replacement surgery, and this was her first ride after that. She came in fourth place, but she was all smiles. She had no regrets. So we've seen an amazing growth.